Hello and welcome. My name is Zach Weaver, and I'm the senior pastor at Liberty Vineyard Church. I'm so glad you tuned in to the sermon today. I hope that it blesses, encourages, and challenges you as you begin to explore the abundant life God has for you. If you're in the area, consider joining us for our weekly services, Sunday mornings at 10:30. We have lunch together, free of charge, each week following our service. Everyone is welcome. We're located in the city of Tucker, Georgia, a suburb of Atlanta. Directions and other information are available on our website at libertyvineyardchurch.com. Welcome, everybody, again to Liberty Vineyard. Happy Easter. Let's say it one more time. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
You know, that phrase is something that I think I've learned to say over the years, that we've grown up saying, and it has historically been said again and again. It's a phrase that we say with such conviction. Right? And we say it with confidence. And we say it with a solidarity, something that we stand together on. We stand together on this one belief that Jesus not only died on the cross, but that he was risen. It's the foundation for what we believe. But the first time those words were spoken, the first time that they heard, "He is risen," it was spoken by the angel at the tomb when the women came to see and to embalm and to take care and to care for Jesus' body. And there at the tomb, the angel meets them and he speaks those words. "Why are you looking for the risen among or the living among the dead? Because he is risen." When those words were spoken at that time, they weren't echoed the way that you and I echo them now. That call and response wasn't received the same way. They weren't received with that much confidence. Instead, they were received with dismay, with awe, with wonder at what was spoken to them. Now, last week, I talked with you about restoring the belief in the impossible. How Jesus called us to become like little children who believe that anything is possible. In fact, Jesus, he quotes to the father of the boy when he comes down from the transfiguration. And he quotes to the father of the boy that is... paralyzed with different possessions of different things. And he says, "To him who believes, all things are possible." And the father echoes, he says, I believe. Help me with my unbelief. See, over and over again, Jesus challenged his followers to believe. Again and again, that word appears through the stories, through the tales of Jesus, to believe. He gives them opportunities. He gives them all of these different ways that they can show that they really do believe in. At every intersection, just as they seem to be making progress, they're again dismayed. They again wonder. Remember when Jesus stops the wind and the waves in the boat? And they wonder to themselves, "Who is this that even the wind and waves obey him?" But his greatest challenge to them, his greatest challenge to their belief in the impossible, had yet to come. 2 weeks ago, Nancy spoke to us about restoring wonder in our lives. She spoke about the idea of how we must learn to marvel at the wonderful things of God that are in life all around us. And she told a story about going on this trip where they were going down into a canyon and they rode these burros. And in the trip, they're looking around at the canyon and at the colors of the rocks, and they're looking at all of the things, and they're filled themselves with awe and wonder and majesty at God's creation, and they're riding these burros that could not care less. And they're just overwhelmed with the just plodding along. They don't care anymore. And she challenged us not to get into the habit of becoming like the burros, where we say, I've seen it all. It's the same thing every day. It's just the mundane. And we become so jaded that we no longer care about the wonder that's in God's everyday creation. On the night of Jesus' birth, the angels came and visited the shepherds, and they tell them these amazing things about a king that had come, about a Messiah who had come for all mankind. And the shepherds can't contain themselves. They go out and they tell all the people they can find. And there's this one little sentence that follows that says, all who heard it wondered at what was spoken to them. From the moment of his birth till the moment of his death, Jesus' life was defined by wonder. From the moment of his birth to the moment of his death, he challenged people to believe. But it's what happened after his death that truly changed things forever. Nothing would ever be the same after that third day. Today, I want to speak to you about the intersection of those two things. About belief in the impossible, and about restoring wonder. But I want to speak to them about them at the intersection of the resurrection of Jesus. If you have your Bibles, you're welcome to turn with me, but I'm going to read the account of Jesus' resurrection. I'm going to read it briefly in each of the three synoptic gospels. Now, I was just watching a program about this last night, but the synoptic gospel just means they all tell the same story. Synoptic means similar or same. They're telling the same story from three different perspectives, with three different voices. They share this. And these are Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Now, there are slight differences in each one about what they notice, about the event that they call attention to, but there are some common themes. And I want to look at those common themes that happen. And I want you to keep in mind, where do I hear impossible? And where do I see wonder? So if I start in Matthew, it says, now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to the tomb. And there was a great earthquake, and the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came back and rolled the stone. And he sat upon it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, don't be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who is crucified. But he's not here, for he is risen. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. So they departed quickly from the tomb with awe, filled with awe, it says, and with great joy. And they ran to tell the disciples. In Mark's gospel, in chapter 16, it says that when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And they were saying to one another on the way, who's going to roll the stone away? And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. And when they entered the tomb, they saw a young man sitting there dressed in a white robe. And they were alarmed, amazed, astonished. And he said to them, don't be astonished. You seek Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He is risen. And he's not here. But go and tell his disciples that he is risen. Then we turn to Luke. And in chapter 24, again, the first day of the week, they go to the tomb taking the spices that they had prepared. But this time they find the stone rolled away and they went in. They didn't find the body of Jesus. And while they were wondering, about these things. Two men stood by them in dazzled apparel, and they were frightened, and they bowed their faces. And the men said, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, because he's risen. Remember? He told you that he would be crucified and on the third day rise. And then they remembered his words. They go back and they tell the apostles. And the apostles said, it seems to them like an idle tale. And they didn't believe them. But Peter rose and he ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen clothes by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. You see, at each story, the women are told something that is almost beyond belief, something impossible, something they didn't dare to believe could actually happen. They are told that Jesus is not dead, that he is risen. Not only that, but he's not here. And when they're told it, they're filled with awe and they're filled with wonder. Why? Why are they surprised? Why should it come as a shock to them that Jesus would do this? Well, see, the death of Jesus was a game changer for those that believed in him. For his followers, they understood and believed that he was the Messiah. They believed he was the Son of God come down into the world to save mankind. They believed all of those things, but they could not comprehend that the Son of Man, that the Son of God come down to the earth, would be taken by men, would be laid on a cross, would be crucified, and would die. They couldn't comprehend that. And when it happened, it was a complete game changer for them. And they no longer knew, what did I miss? What happened? Some of them left. The disciples were scattered. Doubts and wonder started to take place. Why did they marvel at these things? This wasn't the first time that they had seen the dead raised. Jesus had done this, performed this miracle many different times. But on each of those times, it was Jesus that raised someone else. How can someone raise themselves? That question? That's the question. That's the question. That's the impossible. But we serve the God of impossible things. We serve a God for who anything is possible. We just sang this morning, how great is our God. Vinny invited us to name all of the things that God has done miraculously in our lives. John writes that if he were to write all of the things that had happened in Jesus' ministry, the whole world couldn't contain enough books. We serve the God of impossible things. We serve the God who makes the impossible possible. And to see how this impossible thing could happen, we need to go back to an earlier story in Jesus' ministry. We need to go back to a time when he was the one resurrecting someone else. We need to go back to John 11, where Jesus is about to perform a miracle that changes the direction of his ministry, that changes the way that it really now sets a turning point for the way that others see him and the way others interact with him and the way it really starts his path to his death on the cross. We're talking about the death and the resurrection of Lazarus. But I don't want to focus in this on the miracle of him being raised from the dead. Instead, I want to focus on the words that Jesus speaks to Martha and then to Mary about the miracle that he's going to do. I'm going to pick this up in chapter 11, verse 17. At this point, Lazarus has already died and word has reached him. And it says, when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had been in the tomb for 4 days. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out and met him. Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, he will give you. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he'll rise in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, you don't quite understand. I am the resurrection. I am the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? That's the question, isn't it? You see, Jesus says two words there that define so much of our belief. They define who God is from the Old Testament through the New Testament. He says, I am. Today is the end of this series on restoring. But it's the beginning of a new one. We're going to start a new series today called I Am, that explores who Jesus said he is, who God has spoken himself to be. And I can't think of a better place to start than with I Am, the resurrection and the life. You see, speaking these words, saying that I am the resurrection and the life. See, Mary thought that it was going to be for some future time. She was looking forward to a time when the dead would be raised. Jesus calls her attention to now. See, I am is an infinitive verb. I am doesn't just mean I am right now. It means I have been, and I am, and I will be. I have been the resurrection. I am the resurrection, and I will be the resurrection. See, maybe you've thought that the resurrection happened 2,000 years ago, that it was this one-time event, this one solid event in history, and it was. Maybe you thought it was a historical thing, and you've looked back to it as that fact. But the reality is, the resurrection is still something that's happening today. Because Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. The resurrection power is still alive. See, if we served a God that died, that is no longer living, if it had ended at that point, there would be no hope. In fact, Paul says, if that's the case, we should be pitied among all men. But the reality is, we serve a God who is still living and active. And because we serve a God who is alive, the resurrection power is still alive. He, Jesus, is the resurrection. See, the resurrection at its core is a restoration. The resurrection is a restoration that brings dead things back to life. It restores what was lost. It revives things that had passed. Christ's resurrection, to the disciples, it restored hope. It restored purpose. It gave them new direction. To Mary, it restored joy. To Peter, it restored a relationship that was broken. The resurrection, it's all about restoration. What have you given up on in your life? What have you felt like is completely buried, that has nothing else there? What have you believed that's impossible for God to rekindle? Is it a marriage? Is it a relationship with kids? Is it relationship with friends? Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's a dream that you felt like God gave you when you were younger, and that dream has just never come, and you said, I don't believe in that anymore. Because it's easier to believe you were wrong than it is to believe that it's delayed. Maybe it's a promise that God made that you feel like will never come to be. What have you believed is dead that we can hope today to believe that Jesus can bring back? Jesus goes on as he talks to Martha, and eventually Mary comes to him. And she comes down and falls at his feet and says similar things to what Martha had said. And Jesus is deeply moved, and he comes to the tomb. And he says, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of Lazarus, says to him, Lord, by this time there's going to be an odor because he's been dead for 4 days. Listen to what Jesus tells her. Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? This was only a prelude to the mighty work of God on Calvary. This was a prelude to who Jesus was and what he was going to do through his death and his resurrection. And it all centered around one idea, around one crucial answer. Do you believe? All things are possible to him who believes. Jesus appears many times after his resurrection to the disciples in different instances and in different places, and they record one story about where Jesus comes back to the disciples, but one of them's not with them, Thomas. And the disciples all tell Thomas about it. They say, we've seen the Lord. But he says, unless I see the hands, the mark in his hands from the nails, place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them, and the doors are locked, and Jesus comes in and stands among them and says, peace be to you. And he says to Thomas, put your finger here. You see my hands? Now put out your hand and place it on my side. Don't be unbelieving, but believe. And Thomas answers him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus says to him, have you believed because you've seen me? Truly, blessed are those who have not seen me and yet believed. Are you like Thomas today? Even though it's been 2,000 years, trusting and believing in Jesus still requires a great leap of faith. It still requires that we believe an impossible thing. But most importantly, it simply requires that we believe. Are we like Thomas because we don't see the promise happening yet? We don't believe that it can? That because the relationship's hard, we don't feel like it can be saved? That because we haven't seen God come through in this one area of life that we've been waiting for, that he's never going to come through and he's given up on us? Don't be unbelieving, but believe. Because we serve the God of the impossible. We serve the God who controls the wind and the rain. We serve the God who is power over even death. Are you tired of the mundane? Are you tired of just kind of plodding along through life? Have you gotten into that place where everything just looks the same and you just go through your day? Feeling like there's nothing to look forward to or there's nothing new, like Solomon says, under the sun? Or are you searching for more? You're trying to figure out why we're here. What's the point of life? Why do I exist? That's my prayer today. Let Jesus restore wonder in your life. Let him restore relationships. Let him rebuild joy in your heart. Let him restore hope. Let him resurrect in you today a new life. A life that's worth living. A life that's surrounded by everyday wonders. An extraordinary life. An impossible life. Romans 8, 10 and 11 says, if Christ is in you, even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. It says the same Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Jesus from the dead, he gives life to our mortal bodies by this same Spirit. Now, did you hear what he said? He said, not only will we be raised back to life with Jesus someday, we are to be raised to life in Jesus today. In our mortal bodies. Not in our future heavenly bodies, but for this day. I am the resurrection and the life. Not for some future time only, but for now. That same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is alive in us and through us if we will only what? Believe. And when we believe, Jesus says we become new creation. Paul says we become a new creation. Old things are passed away. New things have come. Let Jesus resurrect and restore new life in you today. Let him who is the resurrection and the life fill your hearts, fill your minds. Believe in impossible things. Believe in the great I am. So if that's you, if you are here today and you feel like there are some things that have died in your life that you've given up on, if there are things that feel like they have been dormant for so long that there is no way they could rekindle, if there are broken things in your life, I want to pray for you. I want to pray with you. And more importantly, God wants to do a miracle in you. God wants to restore, to return, to breathe life back. He spoke to the dry bones and he said, dry bones, live. That same breath is available for us anytime if we will just turn to him and believe. So I want to pray for you. And then in a moment, I just want to invite anyone who wants to come up and let us pray for you. Let me pray for you. Let others pray for you. There's going to be several of us that'll be available. And if that's God stirring in your heart, if you feel that unction, that sense that maybe there is something more, that's his voice. That's his Spirit. Let us pray for you. So God, I thank you so much that you loved us enough not only to come to earth to die for our sins, but enough to raise to life again and give us the chance at a new life. Give us the chance at something more. Give us the chance at a new hope. For God, you are holy. You are worthy. Above all things, you are God. And so, Lord, I pray for those here who do not know you, those who are hearing this for the first time and saying, I don't know this kind of a God. I know a God who is historical, or I know a God who is distant, but I don't know a God who's near. I pray for them today, God, that you would stir in their hearts a change in direction, that this may be a stake in the ground, a turning point. Lord, and I pray for those who have already believed in you and have been following you faithfully and yet are looking for that new belief, that new impossibility, that new sense of what you want to revive and resurrect in their lives. And Lord, I pray for them as well that you would just restore wonder. Fill your church, God. May your blessing go out among your people. It's in Jesus' holy, matchless name that we pray. Amen.